Forms of early theatre that restrict and confine his creative potential. In his present, the summer of 1592, he's about to break free and blossom into the writer he is to become. So, how did he get to this point? William Shakespeare was born in 1564 in Stratford, Warwickshire. That we know, though much of his early life is shrouded in mystery, as record-keeping was pretty hit and miss back then. Over the years, the large gaps in Shakespeare's life story have led to much speculation, even suggestions that he may not have written all the plays credited to his name. This theorising has particularly come about because there are no records to show that he attended school, let alone university. What we do know is that at the age of 18, he married Anne Hathaway, a woman some years older than him, and they had three children. A daughter, Susanna, who was born to them 6 months after a hastily arranged marriage, and then twins, a boy, Hamlet, and a girl, Judith. Then, sometime around 1587, when he was about 23, he travelled to London and entered the life of the theatre. We don't know whether his wife objected or encouraged, if he went with the express intention of writing for the theatre, or whether he just needed to get away from Stratford. Rumour has it that he fled Warwickshire because he was wanted for poaching on a local nobleman's land. There is also the suggestion that on leaving Stratford, he joined a travelling troupe of players he met quite by accident and replaced a young actor killed in a duel. But there's little evidence to support the story. Whatever happened, Shakespeare found himself in London, away from his family, and he looked to the theatre for work. So, why the theatre? Well, as I said, there's no record of Shakespeare having had any formal education, and his father, John Shakespeare, even though he was mayor of Stratford, was illiterate, but so were many people in those days, even men with some power and position. As town alderman and mayor, John Shakespeare would have been responsible for granting licences to touring theatre companies. To qualify for a licence, these troupes would perform for the council. And it's likely that young Will would have been invited to see these shows, as many as six performances before he was 10 years old. This could have been the spark that ignited his imagination, that led him to follow his dreams and leave Stratford, which may well have seemed too small, too dull, and too provincial for the young Shakespeare. It's believed that he started on the lowest rung of the ladder, possibly as an ostler or parking attendant for a wealthy person's horse or carriage, and progressed to minor stage roles, such as second spear carrier from the left, and we can only guess at what these plays were like and what they were about. Performances that the young Will Shakespeare saw with his father in Stratford would have been more or less the same kind of entertainment that had been playing in England since medieval times. Morality plays. They usually featured some archetypical young man who is dragged from the path of righteousness by a charismatic figure and introduced to sex and drugs and rock and roll. Well, in the 16th century sense, of course. And must be returned to the path of good by another figure. Usually hope, or virtue, or some such goodly archetype. But this early theatre was changing, giving way to something new, something more sophisticated and cosmopolitan. Under the rule of Queen Elizabeth, England was growing in confidence and stature. London was becoming a hub of commerce and creativity and saw a phenomenal growth in population. Not only were men flocking to London from the counties of England, but from all over Europe, and they brought stories, art, and theatre. He arrived in London at an exciting time for theatre. About a decade earlier, in 1576, James Burbage had constructed the first purpose-built playhouse on some derelict land in Shoreditch, just outside the walled city of London, which he proudly called the Theatre. The building was a round structure with a thatched roof that covered the walls, but left a huge gaping area in the centre, open to the elements. Of course, this was to allow light into the building and onto the stage, as before gas and electricity, the only artificial light came from incredibly expensive tapers and candles. And so, public theatre in Shakespeare's time took place only during the day, lit by the sky. The audience was mostly made up of groundlings who paid a penny to stand in front of the stage and watch the show. And a